You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Proverbs 29. I want to share just a little bit this morning on vision. Everybody say vision.
Vision.
Hallelujah. I made an acronym out of it. I'm going to sound like T.L. Osborne here. T.L. Osborne. Now, Michael studied under T.L. Osborne, and he's big on acronyms. You know, he'd have a word and wonderful. W stands for, you know, and he go through each letter and make an acronym out of a word. But this one's vision, and I've ministered along these lines before, but it's valuable information supernaturally, supernaturally inspired outside the natural. I don't have notes on it. I was trying to remember. I'm not really looking at this. I could look out there and do better. Valuable information supernaturally inspired outside the natural. Okay, that's what vision is. Vision is seeing what others don't see. It's seeing. In fact, we often talk about supervision. You know, a supervisor, that's pretty easy when you think about it. Supra is over, and vision, of course, is to see. It's to see over. It's to see above. A supervisor is usually over people, isn't it? Actually, what it means is they see things others don't see. And always a leader will do that. If you're going to be a leader, you're going to have to see the big picture. You have to see more than just the one thing that's going on. You need to oversee. See over. Get that? And you have to spend time with God to do that. I mean, we're not smart enough to figure this thing out. It's not a matter of our intelligence. It's a matter of what God says and what God reveals. The Bible is a revelation. Here in Proverbs 29, classic verse along these lines, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Most translations say revelation, which would be the same thing. There's no God-inspired word. There's no revealed thing in your life. You perish without direction. You perish without God revealing to you something, without a revelation. If in this life alone, Paul said, I have hope, we are all creatures most miserable if alone in this life we have hope. My hope is beyond this life. Are you with me? Because I have vision, I see more than what's going on here in the natural. I see more than what's going on here today. I see more than maybe the mundane that I'm going through each day. The grind, as we call it, you know, going through the motions of this. Well, you know what? If I know what I'm doing is bringing a greater degree of blessing down the road, if I'm aware of what I'm doing is a part of the plan that's going to bring blessing and anointing and help people, then all of a sudden the mundane's not so mundane. The daily routine is not pointless. And if I have a vision, it puts method and meaning to the madness. Are you with me? I mean, it makes sense to pray. It makes sense to read my Bible. It makes sense to serve God. It makes sense to live holy. Because a lot of times I don't feel like it. If you say you feel like doing that every day, fine. We'll pray for liars at the end of the service. You don't always feel that way. Most of the time you do. I think that's great. But sometimes you just feel like turning back over and pulling the covers over your head and hoping all the bad people go away. Are you with me? You want to sleep another hour, another 2 hours or whatever. But you know, vision, you know the result of that. And you know, it's better to get up and go ahead and do the right thing because there's going to be an end to this thing. And for the joy that's set before you, you endure Monday mornings at the job. Right? That's what it says to Jesus, Hebrews 12, 2. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And you were the joy. You were how he hung on that cross. You were how he took those stripes. How in the world did he do that? He had vision. He had vision. He knew the outcome of this thing. He knew the end of this road, as it were. Hallelujah. And sometimes we just get wrapped up in the doing of things that we forget the outcome. Without a vision, the people perish. One translation says they cast off restraint. They give up. They just go wild, as it were. Immorality sinks in. We quit trying to live holy. We quit trying to do right because we don't see the end. We've got to see further than the now. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. Man, that's good preaching. You know, even serving God every day, going to church, it pays to go to church. You know that? It pays to serve God. There are outcomes from believing God, living holy, living right, that I mean that are just out of this world. Literally. Amen? We're going to heaven because of all this. My children are serving God because I got up and served God when I didn't want to serve God. My children are serving God. My grandchildren are serving God because I decided not to sin when it would have been easier to sin. Are you with me? Because I decided to forgive because, you know, I didn't want to forgive. I didn't want to. I was mad. I was upset. But time and time again, I knew it was the wrong thing to hold that. I need to let that go because down the road, that would bite me. Down the road, that would hurt me. Down the road, that would hurt my children. That would hurt my marriage. That would hurt this church. I don't have that luxury of sinning. I know what holy living does. It helps me down the road. I know what praying does. It helps me. A lot of times I don't want to do it. But you know what? Praise God. Most of the time I do. Don't get me wrong. But you're not going to just feel, you know, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Are you with me? And I'm not talking about candy bars. Mounds and Peter. What is that? Almond Joy. Mounds and Almond Joy, yeah. But you, I heard this one time. It's a book I read, Jesus CEO, Mary Beth Jones, I think was the name of the author. But she said in there, when you're up, I paraphrase greatly here, when you're up, you're on top of the world, let's put it this way. Service like today, it'd be good. We're all up, man, spirit's flowing. We're doing good, amen? Feeling good, feeling his presence. And excited to be a Christian. It's great to be in church. It's easy to say hallelujah in here, amen. But now's when you need to make your plans. That's really when you need to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to change this. I'm going to change that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Get a vision of your future, of a better future in your life, in your family, in your marriage, in your business, and ministry, whatever the case may be. It's when you're in the presence of God. That's when you want to get out and you want to really make some plans. Because when you leave here, sometimes the presence is not as strong. Are you with me? You're still his and he's still with you. But, you know, sometimes Monday follows Sunday. Monday mornings follow Sunday, you know, sometimes. Sometimes you don't always feel great the next morning. I'm not prophesying doom, gloom, and destruction. But in this book, I thought it was so significant that she was saying that, you know, when you're up, make your plans. When you're down, work the plan. Do what you know you're supposed to do. But don't make plans when you're down. You make plans when you're up. When a tragedy happens, a crisis takes place, don't plan your life out. Don't do that. You get back in peace. You get over that thing. You get the mind of God and the help of God. And then your vision will increase, see, because without a vision, you perish. And many people make very, very dumb decisions in a crisis because they give up. They're hurting. Are you with me? You're hurting. I'm hurting. Come on. You cut me. I bleed. I understand that. And loss is a terrible thing in this life. And I understand loss comes to all. I mean, it's going to come. But God's a God of comfort. And he's a God of hope. Praise God, we're going to see these people again if they know the Lord. Amen. And we'll get through this grief. Grief may come, but it doesn't stay. We don't grieve as others that have no hope. We got hope. Amen. So, you know, one thing I say many times with people that have lost a loved one, you know, in the sense that they've gone on to be with the Lord and lost them, they know where they are. But I've sat down with many a person in their grief the day of the event, right after the event, and said, you know what? Don't plan your whole life out right now. Let's get through this. Let's just pray, ask God to help us. But because your mind starts going nuts at a time like that, doesn't it? Oh, what am I going to do? And you start thinking of every worst case scenario because this person's gone now or this bad thing happened or, you know, I got a foreclosure notice on my house. Next thing I'm going to do is lose my car. Everybody's going to make fun of me. I'm going to wind up in jail. And for long, I mean, you've planned your whole life out on the basis of this one thing. You've taken vision backwards and gone the wrong direction with this thing. You need to get some help and get over this thing, and then when you get on top, then make your plans. Amen. Without a vision, people perish. Amen? I mean, that's good stuff, because I've done it too. Thank you, Mike. I've done the same thing. I start thinking, you know, we think too much. As King Agrippa told Paul, much learning hath made thee mad. You know, sometimes we overthink the thing, overanalyze the thing. There's one thing you need to understand. God is going to come through for you. He always has and he always will. If you'll trust, I don't know how, but he has a million ways of making this thing work. Don't ever give up on God. Don't ever lose your hope. Don't ever lose your vision. Keep hope alive. You know, I think of Mo, you know, I gave that word to Mo. Mo is a partner with God in the food ministry in dealing with hope. People come with no hope. And Mo, with the anointing of God on him, gives hope to these people. He comes in with a smile. He comes in encouraging. He comes in with the anointing of God on him, and all of a sudden they leave with hope. You might call that vision. You know, it's not maybe not quite faith, but you know, you can't have faith without hope, because faith gives substance to what's hoped for. If you don't think you can make it, you can't have faith. You got to have at least an expectancy, some kind of hope that this is going to turn around. But faith will take that hope and put some substance to it. Faith will make it concrete. You know, I'd like to, I think I can make it. And faith comes along and tells you how you can make it. Tells you what to do to make it happen. Amen. So you got to keep hope alive. And without it, you perish. Without a revelation. We come to church to get hope. We come to church to get encouraged. We come to church to find out how to make it. Are you with me? We don't come to church to find out how to go under. We're going under already. We need to know how to get out of going under and start going over. Right. Amen? Yeah. Who comes to church to find out how miserable and terrible and worthless they are? They already know that. They come to church. Come on. We come to church to find out how to get out of that mess. Come on. My job's not up here just to blast you and beat you over the head and tell you how no good and miserable you are. I hope you know that already. Now, stay with me. My job as a minister here is to preach the good news, okay? The good news that whatever you're going through, you can go through it. Whatever's happened to your life, you can come out of it. Hallelujah. I want to give you some hope. Hallelujah. I want to increase your vision. I want you to see a little further down the road. See, you're too short-sighted is what it is. You need to see a little further. And if you need telescopic vision, if you need to see further, you need God to do that. Because God sees everything. He sees what you don't see. And he'll show you things that you don't know and you don't see. And if you will get with him, you'll see that you can win this deal. In fact, you've already won it. You just need to walk in it. Woo! Good stuff. Amen? So he goes on, he says this. He says, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Now, what has that got to do with it? Well, that's pretty simple. If you keep the word, you'll stay happy. Joyful, I think one translation says. If you'll do what God says to do, day in and day out, sometimes we call it the daily grind. I mentioned that earlier. If you'll do the things you know to do, if you'll stay positive, if you'll keep praying, if you'll keep reading the Bible, keep living holy, do what God says to do, joy will come and your vision will continue on. But you can kill your vision by not doing the daily things that you need to do. Your future is wrapped up in your daily agenda. Pure and simple. It's called discipline. It's also called being a disciple. That's where the word discipline comes from. If we're disciples of God, we're going to stay in the Word. We're going to pray about things. You know, I've said this often, and you've heard me say it. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen next month if Jesus tarries. I don't know what's going to happen next year. I have no idea. But I do know this. Brennan and I have made this decision a long time ago. Whatever happens, we're going to trust God. I know that much. And I know that whenever I've trusted God, God's always come through. He's always come through for me. I don't have a crystal ball here. Don't want one. You know, in fact, you don't. If you got one, you need to throw that thing away. That's not good. You don't need a crystal ball. But, I mean, I don't know everything that's ever going to happen. You don't either. But you know what? You can know this. You can develop a lifestyle of trusting God and know that whatever happens, you're going to trust God. God's going to get you through. He always has. He always will. As he was in your past and as he is today, he will always be forever. For he does not change. Amen? Isn't that good? You know, I read this the other day. It's a good quote. It's out of a book called Diamonds Under Pressure. I like the title because that's what we are. You know, even a chunk of coal, if enough pressure becomes a diamond. And I'm not saying that God's putting pressure on you, because I don't believe God's the author of any trial in your life. I think the trials and tests come from the devil, and his object is to kill you and get you to deny God. But God gives you the power in the trial and the test, and what the devil means for bad, God turns around for good. Amen? And he gets good out of bad things, because when we trust him, when we love him, he doesn't get any good out of it if we don't trust him. In fact, the devil can win if you're not careful when something you're going through something. His goal can come to pass. The devil's goal is to destroy your faith, and you can give up on your faith. God's counting on you not giving up your faith, and God's empowering you during that time so you can overcome the devil, hallelujah, and come out stronger. So what the devil meant for bad turns out for good, because actually you called on God, you came out better, you came out stronger, and you got more now than you have when you went into it. That's good stuff, amen? But having said that, Diamond's under pressure. This book, he made this quote. He says, before you can take any effective action, you must have a clear idea of where you want to go and believe that you're going to get there. Now, what's causing the misery and the pain in your life? Why are you frustrated? That's a good question. Why are you not happy? What is it that's making you so miserable? You need to get a vision of overcoming that and getting through that. Are you with? That's the first start. You got to have vision. Without it, you perish, is what the Bible says. You got to keep hope alive. You can't give up. You can't quit. The only way you can lose really is to quit. You know, that's what I think it's Tom Landry said this. Tom Landry, because we have some Northerners here. Tom Landry was the great famous coach of the Dallas Cowboys back when they were like a team. And, I love the Cowboys. I'll be watching them tonight. But so far they've been playing possum. You know, that's they play dead at home and they get killed on the road. But anyway, we hadn't had Tony Romo and we just got Dez Bryant back last week. But anyway, okay, that being said, I hadn't forgot what I was going to say. Tom Landry used to say, they would ask him when he'd lose a game, which is seldom. Y'all remember those days? Anyway, Roger Staubach. Oh, come on, man. I mean, those were the days. Anyway, they'd ask him, they said, well, what happened? You know, you lost the game. He said, oh, we didn't lose the game. We just ran out of time. I thought that was such a great quote. You know, if we'd played a little longer, we won that game. But they cut us off 4 quarters. They just quit, you know. You need to have that attitude. Now, come on now, really. We're Christians. We're believers. We're not out of time. Hey, it's not over yet. I'm still breathing. So it's not over yet. It may look bad, but hey, I've got God's word. I got God's promise. I got vision. Amen. I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. I know how this thing ends. You know, the old saying, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. He loses, we win. And we need to get that attitude even now. Amen? It's been said the vision that we create, the picture we hold up before us is what determines where we end up. So how do you see yourself? That's a good question. Where do you see yourself next year and the year after that? Do you see yourself progressing, improving? Do you see yourself getting better, closer to God, doing more for God or your family, your business, or whatever the case may be? You know, if you see that, then start praying. You know, start praying for wisdom on how to make that happen. I like that. Start making plans. You know, a goal is just a dream with a deadline. I mean, I'm kind of getting way ahead of myself here, but you got to first start with vision, but then you need to start making some goals. You know, I'm going to do this by that time. I'm going to do this by that time. That's a goal. That's a dream with a deadline. That's what a goal is. Goal's different than just a dream. A dream is just a desire. It's something we all want. Vision is something we see out there somewhere. But God wants to take us even further than that. He wants to give us the how-to on how to get there. Y'all remember Alice in Wonderland, the Cheshire Cat? She pops up there, you know, in Wonderland, and the Cheshire Cat just pops up there on a branch, you know, with that big smiley face. You know, he'd appear and disappear. And she was saying, I can't remember the exact conversation, but she says, which road do I take? And the Cheshire Cat says, well, where do you want to go? And she said, well, I really don't know. And he says, well, it really doesn't matter which road you take. See, if you don't know where you're going, then how can you know what road to take? If you don't have a vision, if you don't know what you're believing for, if you don't know what you want in your marriage, if you don't know what you want in your ministry or in your business or in your life or in your family, if you don't have definite ideals and hopes and dreams, then you don't know where you're going. You don't know what road to take. You could take any road because you have no dream. Hello? You need a vision. You need a dream. And that vision, I'll tell you what, you need to examine that vision. You need to see where that thing comes from. You need to make sure your visions and dreams come from God, that they're in line with what God says. Turn over to Habakkuk 2. There's nothing new here. Many of you quote these verses up one side, down the other. But sometimes we just need, as Brother Osteen used to say, cornbread and beans. We're looking for steak, and I love steak. My goodness. Eva was talking about steak this week. I love steak. That's good. You eat a lot of steak, that's good for you. I like steak. I'm all for steak. But sometimes we miss the cornbread and beans is what I'm trying to say, because we're going for the steak, and I love steak. Don't you walk at her and say, I don't love steak, because I do. Okay. Brother Osteen, I get so tickled at him. He'd say, I just cornbread and beans. And I'm telling you, his cornbread and beans are better than most steak I've ever eaten. It was so good. It was so anointed. He'd have a conference, you know, at his at Lakewood Church, and he'd have everybody in it. I mean, he'd have Kenneth Hagin in, T.L. Osborne, Les Sumrall, and different ones. And he was always so humble. You know, people, everybody really didn't see that side of Brother Osteen if you didn't know him outside of the pulpit. But I remember on more than one occasion, you know, he says, man, he said, I just feel just like a, you know, they're all giants and come in here and they did such a good job. And he said, I just feel like I don't even measure up to these guys. And he was telling me that one time. He said, didn't they all do good? I said, Brother Osteen, that's back when they had cassette tapes, okay. I said, Brother Osteen, I listened to every one of those messages and I enjoyed them and I was blessed by all of them, but I bought one cassette and it was your teaching. I said, you are the greatest preacher. And I loved them all, don't get me wrong. Of course, I was biased. He's my pastor. Stay with me. But I thought it was, his cornbread and beans was awesome stuff. He would make you feel like $1 million. You'd walk out with hope. You'd walk out with a vision. You'd walk out with an expectancy. You'd walk out ready to take the devil on in the world and whatever came your way. And that's the way you ought to walk out of church. Amen? You need to walk out with hope. You know, my ministry, this is what God's put on, and I say my, God's ministry on me, has been centered around that from the very beginning. When God called me to teach, he called me to make a difference in church. Really, he called me to teach. Some people are called evangelists, some people pastors, so on, some teacher. I was called to teach first and then to pastor. But I had an open vision. I know you've heard the story of my hometown, and I saw a church in my hometown, and I saw people going into that church. I was in a service at Lakewood Church in 1976 when God gave me this open vision. Before I was ever called to do anything, I was just saved and happy to be saved. And I saw these people walking in this church, all dressed up, as we say, gussied up. I mean, they were looking good, they were smiling, they were happy, and they were going in the front door like, man, they had a tiger by the tail. And they came out the back door. They were beat down, they were depressed, they were discouraged. They came out of church worse than they came in. And I saw this going on. I was like 19 years old. I was just, you know, 19, 20. And I was sitting there and I was weeping. And I wasn't into weeping. I wasn't into all that. I'd just been saved a year. Are you kidding me? I mean, you didn't cry like that. I mean, you know, I was a guy. I come out of drugs and jails and all that. I didn't do that. And I was begging God to leave me alone. I said, God, leave me alone. Quit this. I'm in church. I'm in a service. You don't cry in a service. You know, and he says, I want you to do something about that. Just echoed in my spirit. And I said, you know, I mean, I only have a high school education. I was kicked out of high school and, you know, I was working as a laborer on a construction job, and here's God wanting me to do something about people going in church great and feeling and coming out feeling bad. What in the world am I going to do about that? I said, no, you got the wrong cat, Jack. That's exactly what I said back then. That's the way I talked. You got the wrong cat, Jack. You got the wrong cat. No, no, no. And I bucked up against it. He kept pouring it on me, and man, I mean, I kept breaking down, and I finally quit. I said, oh, God, please, please leave me alone. He said, I am calling you to teach my word. What he said, just strong as I can imagine. I can hear it today. All those years ago, I can hear that in my spirit. And I said, yes, I'll do that. I finally gave up. I couldn't. You're not going to win an argument with God. You might as well just go ahead and do it. And I did. And it has been on my heart in my prayer ever since that when I go and minister, that people leave better than they came, that they leave with hope, that they leave with encouragement, that they leave knowing they can make it, that they leave knowing that God loves them, he's for them, not against them. Whatever it is we're ministering, whatever it is we're teaching, church should make you better. It should be a place where you, man, you get charged up. You get fed, you get charged up, you realize that it's not as bad as everybody's telling you, you realize that you're better than everybody's saying you are, you realize that God's for you, not against you. Man, we need vision, amen? Without it, we perish. Okay. Habakkuk 2, and I'll wrap this up. I talked about the vision. You need to make sure your vision's from God. That's the only way you can have faith in it, if you want to know the truth. If what you want in your marriage and what you want in your business and what you want in ministry or what you want in your own personal life is in line with the Word of God or in line with something God's placed on your heart, then you have every reason to believe for that to happen. Are you with me? So examine that vision. Look at it. Here's what Habakkuk did. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me. Spend some time in God's presence. Amen. Spend some time in God's word. Amen. And let God paint the picture. Yes. Let him paint the picture for you. Let him show you what he wants for your life and what he wants a marriage to be, what he wants a business to be, what he wants you as a person to be, as a minister to be, whatever the case may be. Let him paint that picture. Let him write that book. And listen, this book's not finished. You still got ink and a pen. You can still write another chapter. I know this a little different, maybe a little outside of what I'm saying, but it fits. I got an email from Dick Bradley the other day of a 12-pound, how many ounces was that? 12-pound, 1-ounce bass that he caught in a lake the other day. Now, Dick's been fishing all of his life, and he's got a 10-pound and 11-pound hanging on his wall. But this was the biggest bass he ever caught in his life. And I was overwhelmed. I just thought, oh, man, that is so awesome. He has got to be on cloud nine. And I know he is because he showed everybody that picture this morning already. But I thought about Dick. Dick's got some years left in his life. Stay with me. I'm not saying that. But all those years he fished when he was much younger and middle-aged and so on and so forth, you're thinking, well, you know, can't prove on that, can't prove that. And here he is just last week catch the biggest bass he ever caught in his life. Listen, it's not over. You hear me? The best has not happened yet. The best is yet to come. Keep vision. Keep hope alive. You have no idea what's coming down the road. Don't you ever give up. Don't you ever quit. And if you ever doubt that, go ask Dick. What if he'd quit fishing at that 11-pound one, that 10-pound one? Oh, come on. I'll stand upon my watch. I'll set upon the tower. I will watch to see what he, God, will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run it, readeth it. For the vision is yet for appointed time, may be down the road, but at the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, you wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up in him is not upright, but the just shall live by faith. See, you got to write this thing. What is it that you're believing? You need to rehearse it. It's been said that many times, that an important ingredient of vision is keeping it, rehearsing it over and over and making it simple. You know how we have one, we make it real simple. What are we about? Empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ so they can change their world. That's a simple statement. It's a simple vision. It's simply what we're about. Whether you're lost, we're about empowering you with the good news of Jesus Christ so you can change your world. If you're saved, we're still about empowering you with the good news of Jesus Christ so you can change your world. Wherever you are, we're about, and the church is about, empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Why? So we can change our world. Hallelujah. Amen. That's not deep. That's not complicated. It's real simple, and your vision needs to be simple. You may can think of a million details, but really, what's the main thing? What is it you want? You want a godly marriage? You want an anointed ministry? You want a healthy body? Those are simple things. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the details that it gets, we work that thing. We're trying to work it. And we need to trust God, amen? And make it simple and rehearse it. That's why you hear us every week say, we're about empowering people with good news, Jesus Christ, they can change their world. We rehearse it. We go over. Every week you hear us talk about we're out of debt. Every week we talk about the food bank. We talk about certain things. We rehearse them so we can keep that vision in front of us. And it's a godly vision. It's a scriptural vision. It's what the Lord wants in people's lives. Amen? Hallelujah. You can have vision too. Amen. Don't give up on your dreams. Find out what God wants you to do. And find out what is it that you want. God's not against what you want. Come on. What is it that you want in your life? Well, hold it up there. And don't give up on it.